You know, it's interesting to look at these things. Oh, sometimes we look at them through our own eyes, but it's good to look at them through God's eyes. And I can just see God watching over Hannah's life and waiting until Hannah got to the place of desperation where she said in her heart, I don't care if God will just give me one. I'll give him back to God. And God said, that's what I've been waiting for, Hannah. I need a deliverer in Israel, and I've been looking for a godly woman who will give their son for that very reason. And then God granted her Samuel the prophet. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am not a woman of a sorrow. I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord for a son. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they arose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Hallelujah. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Samuel means asked of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifices and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth good, what seemeth thee good, tarry until thou have weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode, and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, and with three bullocks, and one ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. The Bible doesn't say how old Samuel was, but it says the child was young. And they slew a bullock, and brought the child to Eli, and she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. A beautiful example of a godly mother. Here we see in Hannah some of the attributes that every mother should have. Number one, there was a longing in her heart after motherhood. She longed to be a mother. And I think, my sisters, after you've had one child, it's not time to quit longing to be a mother. If we truly see motherhood for what God sees it to be, there ought to be that longing inside of our heart that stays there even after we've had one and two and three and four. We ought to long after God that He may give us a child, that is, that child might be used of God into the honor and glory and to the building of His kingdom. Hannah, she longed after motherhood. Number two, she gave her son to God. That's what we need to do with every single one of them, isn't it? We need to give them to God. Not just to pray a prayer, but to give them to God. One of the sweetest blessings that we've had at our house each time we've had a child is as soon as that child is born, we pick it up and set it before God and say, God, here it is. This one you have given us. We receive it and we thank you in Jesus' name, but God, we give it back to you. Take this child, raise it, give us wisdom. We want it to honor and glorify you. We want it to be a powerful child. We want this child to be mighty in spirit. And I think it's wise for every mother, and father for that matter, to take those children and lift them up before God and say, here, Lord, this is not mine but thine. Give us the wisdom to raise them right. Number three, we notice she also suffered the heart pain of giving that child to God. I don't know how old little Samuel was. Maybe he was five. They say that many times they weaned the children at maybe the age of four in the days of Israel. I'm not sure how old he was, but I don't think he was a 12-year-old boy. And the child was young, the Bible says, and that's all the Bible says, and I believe that's all God wanted us to know. But I think there's enough, we can know enough there to know that Hannah suffered the heart pain of bringing that little boy and leaving him there at Shiloh in the hand and the house of Eli and going home. She suffered the heart pain of it all. And fourthly, she was a woman who prayed. I don't believe the woman who walked with God to pray those first prayers, and the woman who prayed the prayer, and we didn't read it, it's in chapter 2, as she consecrated that son to the Lord, the woman who prayed that prayer, I don't believe that woman stopped praying, but I believe she continued to pray, and she had a powerful influence in Samuel's life. I believe it was by Hannah's prayers that her son delivered Israel. I think it's good for us to meditate on Hannah. I thought also of Eunice, who was Timothy's mother. And the scripture was already read in the children's class. Paul speaking to Timothy and reminding him, you remember that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures? We know by history Timothy did not have a godly father. His father was a Greek. His mother was a Jew, a God-fearing Jew, who loved the Word of God, and I believe that his mother, Eunice, filled that little boy full of the Word of God, even though they lived in a house where father was a Greek, and he was not a Jew, and he did not go to the synagogue, and he didn't believe in God. He was a Greek. But there was a mother who watched over that little son, Timothy, and from a child made known unto him the Holy Scriptures of God. And oh, mothers, let me encourage you this morning to redeem the time. Let me encourage you this morning to redeem the time. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and it's also in the power of your tongue. Your tongue is just as powerful as the tongues on this side of the room. Your voice can be just as anointed as the voices that are on this side of the room. Your heart can be filled with just as much of wisdom from the Word of God as the hearts that are over here on this side of this room. I would encourage each one of you mothers to redeem the time with your children. I would encourage each one of you mothers to get alone with God and get an anointing of His Spirit upon your lives, that His Word and His will might flow out of your hearts and into the hearts of those children that you have at your house. I would encourage you to redeem the time this morning. Eunice did, and she had a son named Timothy. By the way, Eunice had a mother named Lois, didn't she? Oh, may God give us the wisdom to have a vision on both sides of the room this morning. God forbid that we would think, I have two sons and four daughters. No, I have two sons. And I have four daughters. And they're all very important. And God has a special work and a calling on every one of them. He has something that He wants them to do. He has a purpose for each one of them. It's a divine purpose. It's written in eternity. And God has it all planned out. And what is it, and how can we order the child? Let that be our heart for every one of our sons and every one of our daughters. No difference at all. Because Eunice had a mother named Lois. And then I also, as I was meditating upon godly mothers, I had to think of Mary. And I'd like to turn there a little this morning, Luke chapter 1. Mary. The young handmaiden of the Lord, whom God ordained to bring forth the Christ child. Mary, the handmaid of the Lord. God knew that Mary had to be a very special woman. I believe this morning that Mary had a mother also. I don't think she was just a half-hearted mother. I don't think she was a kind of do her job and not do her job. I don't think she was a mother who had no vision for her children. I believe Mary had a mother this morning. And that mother had a profound effect upon Mary. The forming of her life, the building of her character. She had her help of bringing that Mary to the place where she could say, I rejoice in God my Savior. Mary had a mother. And God the Father in heaven knew that Christ would need a mother for some of His earthly years. And God chose Mary to be Christ's mother. Amen? Oh, listen, I think it's a wonderful thing for us this morning to meditate upon the virgin birth and meditate upon the great honor that fell upon Mary. That in her womb, conceived by the Holy Ghost, came forth the Christ child, the Messiah. What an honor that was for Mary. But did you ever consider the honor of being allowed by God to raise that little Christ child? What an honor that God bestowed upon her. I don't believe that God did that one by election either, brothers and sisters. But He called out a woman who first of all had a mother who was a godly mother. And He called out a young handmaiden who was a godly young handmaiden. And He knew what kind of a heart was in that woman, Mary. And He knew that He needed that kind of a woman to have an influence on His son as he was a little baby growing up in that home. And she's a good example of a mother. Let's read in Luke chapter 1, verse 46 through 55. We get some insight into Mary's heart as we read her salutation. And Mary said, verse 46, chapter 1 of Luke, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. My heart is longing to make big the Lord. That's what she's saying. I have a heart that wants the Lord to be magnified. I want Him to be big. I want people to see how big He is. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. She's saying my heart is overflowing with joy in God who is my Savior. Amen? Mary needed a Savior too. Let's not forget that. Mary needed a Savior. Mary had a Savior. And she rejoiced in God, her Savior. For He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. I think that's worthy of note, isn't it? God chose this handmaiden because He regarded the lowly estate of her character. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. Notice her knowledge of God. He hath showed strength with His arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He hath sent empty away. He hath opened His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Oh, what a blessed salutation we have here as we read of Mary. I had to think in verse 52, He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. Do you know, mothers, this morning, there are millions of women in this America today who look at your position and consider it substandard, abnormal, not desired. They're the mighty ones. They want to be executives. They want to be the bank president. They want to be the congresswoman. They want to be the president of the United States. But God sends them away empty, doesn't He? Their arms are empty and their hearts are empty, my sisters. Though they be the President of the United States, though they make $1 million, though they're heard and give speeches all over this country, He has sent them away empty. Their arms are empty and their hearts are empty. But He's exalted those of low degree. Your arms are not empty and your hearts are full. Hallelujah. Oh, that we could see the honorable position that God has given to mothers. It's an honorable place. It's an exalted place. It shouldn't be looked down on, but it should be looked up to. It should be coveted after as a wonderful thing, as a desire of the heart of every girl. Let's turn and read Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. I know I quoted part of it here a couple of times already in the sermon. This is talking about going on in our salvation experience, but I believe the verse is very applicable to each one of you mothers this morning. We'll read verse 9 and 10. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. And my sisters, we are persuaded better things of you, though we even exhort you this morning, though we may challenge you some this morning. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And sisters, this morning, God is not unfaithful to forget your labor of love that you've showed unto your children, in that you've ministered to them and do plan to continue to minister to them. God is not unfaithful to forget that labor of love. He's marking it down. Yes, your husband maybe he went out on the streets of Lancaster and won a soul last week, but you were raising the children last week, and God does not forget that labor of love. It's marked down on the books just as bright as the soul that your husband won. He is not unfaithful to forget your labor of love. He knows. Then I had to think, for the rest of us here this morning, what are some of our responsibilities as we look at mothers? Every one of us have a mother or had a mother. What are our responsibilities? Even if we're grown today, even if we've been out of our homes for 20 years, what is our responsibility to our mothers? To the beginning of our journey? Well, I think it calls for honor, don't you? Not just a kind word, not just a Mother's Day card, but honor. Honor. A spirit of honor that mother can sense coming out of every one of us. The Scriptures teach us we're to obey our mothers. Now realize when we're grown and we leave the home, we don't obey our mothers, but all you children, the Scriptures admonish you to obey your mothers. Number two, the Scriptures would tell us it's our responsibility to bless our mothers. To bless them. The Scripture says, they'll rise up and call her blessed. Well, that's true. A virtuous mother, the children will rise up and call her blessed. But children, we're supposed to bless them, whether they're all what the virtuous woman is in Proverbs 31 or not. We're supposed to bless them. That's one of our responsibilities to mothers, is to bless them. And of course, the Scripture says to honor them, honor father and mother, says the Scriptures. That means we're to hold them in an exalted position. That means that our mothers ought to sense a spirit of honor from us. And you know something? That should just keep growing and growing and growing in maturity all the days of our life. I think if you're here this morning and you have a mother that's 70 years old, she ought to receive honor from you like she never did before. If you're a Christian and years have gone by, your honor toward your mother ought to just be getting higher and higher and higher. You say, my mother's old order Amish woman. My mother's out in the streets. My mother's a drunk. It doesn't matter. Your mother is still your mother. Honor her. Let her sense the spirit of honor coming forth from you. There's a blessing with that. The Scripture would teach us that we are also to fear our mothers. Children, you know, sometimes mothers, they get the disrespect and father gets the fear. But the Bible says, fear your mother also. Fear her? That means to hold her in reverence. To fear her. When mother speaks, we should listen. When mother tells us to do something, we should do it with reverence in our hearts. Just like father would have said it. And the Scripture teaches us in the Old Testament that we are to mourn for our mothers when they pass on out of this life. Also, there's a few things it says we shouldn't do. The Scripture says we should never hit our mother. Have you ever hit your mother? The Scripture says you should never hit your mother. Never. The Scripture says you should never rob your mother. Have you ever taken a quarter out of mama's purse? The Bible says you should never rob your mother. Don't take money from your mother. God will not let you forget that if you ever did. The Scripture says we should never chase away our mother. What do you mean by that? How do you chase away your mother? You could send her to a rest home. That'd be a good way to chase her away. I don't have time for her. I'm too busy. Put her over there. The Scripture says, don't chase away your mother. The Scripture says, we should do everything we can to keep shame from coming upon our mother. The Scripture teaches that. You know what loyalty is? Loyalty is, in a right way, wanting to cover up some of the faults of your mother. Your mother's not perfect this morning. She makes mistakes. Sometimes she gets frustrated. Sometimes she makes wrong decisions. But we ought to desire to cover for our mother, not expose. And I don't mean that in a wrong way. It's right to want to cover sin. It's wrong to want to let everybody know about it. It's right to want to cover up something that someone has done. It's wrong to want to go and tell everybody, you know what my mother did? You know what my mother said? That's not right, children. It's not right. Loyalty protects the reputation of mother. And I believe the Scripture teaches us to do that. What else? The Scripture teaches that we should not ridicule our mothers. We shouldn't make fun of them. Shouldn't make fun of them. You're dumb. You did that wrong. And tease them and make jokes at them and make them feel bad and embarrass them because they did this or that wrong. The Scriptures teach it's wrong to ridicule mother. You see, mother is a queen. Children, mother is like a queen. You wouldn't do that to a queen, would you? And last of all, the Scripture says, don't forsake the law of your mother. It says that in the book of Proverbs. Do you know what that means? It means when mother makes a rule in the house, you follow it. That's what it means. When mother makes a rule, it becomes law for you. It becomes a law for you to keep when mother makes a rule. You say, now wait a minute. Yes, when mother makes a rule, it becomes a law. Put your toothbrush away when you're done using it. That is a law. And you should obey mother. Amen? Obey mother. You know, in the Old Testament, in closing, in the Old Testament, there's a scripture that says, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head. And I believe that verse means that you should stand up when the hoary head comes into the room. It means you should stand in honor of a hoary head when it comes into the room. And then the scripture also says in Proverbs 31 that the children will rise up and call her blessed. I don't know that we ought to stand up every time mother comes into the room, but I think the spirit of rising up ought to be within our heart at all times. To rise up and bless that beginning of my journey. You see, mother is the beginning of the journey. That's what her name means. She brought each one into the world. She nurtured each one through many struggles. She bathed many a sweated brow through the night. She nursed many a child back to health. She sacrificed many an hour of no sleep through the night. She did many a task she didn't want to do. She cleaned up many a messes that she didn't want to clean up. She sacrificed many things so that you could have something. Mother did all those things and more. She's the beginning of the journey. And I believe it's right for us to rise up and bless our mothers. Rise up and honor them. Rise up and give them respect and blessing for all that they do. You mothers, we want to encourage you this morning. We want to encourage you just to keep right on doing what you're doing. We want to encourage you, if you've fainted in your heart, if you've lost the vision about what you're about, if you've lost the glorious vision in the midst of the dishes and the clothes and the diapers and the noise and the crying and the toys and all those things, if you've lost the vision in the midst of all of that, may God just lift your eyes up a little higher this morning and readjust your vision. It really is worth it all. God really will bless you for every one of those labors of love. It will be an exaltation to your life someday. If not in this life, I know in the one to come. So I just want to encourage you to keep on doing that which God holds as the most honorable thing you could do with your life. May God bless each one of you mothers. Let's kneel together for prayer. Yes, Lord, this morning, a life of selflessness, giving, giving, giving. We know that's the life of a mother. Self-denial, give it up again. Let your plans be changed, let them be changed again. That is a mother. Father, we pray you'll bless each one of the mothers that is in this room this morning. We pray, dear God, you'll encourage them. I pray you'll lift up their heavy hands if they're heavy this morning. I pray that you'll clarify the vision in their heart. Father, we know they go through many things. They suffer in many ways. But, oh God, we also know the tremendous reward that awaits them. God, I commit each one of the mothers into your hands. And I pray, oh Father, let them be anointed mothers. Let their hands be anointed hands, and their lips anointed lips, and their lives anointed lives as they minister to the children in each one of the homes. Father, I pray you'll lift up motherhood where it belongs, in its exalted place, in each one of our lives. Father, whether we be man, woman, father, mother, teenager, youth, child, Lift it up where it belongs, dear God. Let it have its rightful place among us, that the next generation might be blessed. God, we commit the further service into your hands, and we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.